Everybody is making resolutions this new year, as we always do, and I don't really get caught up in that too much. I sort of am someone who is continually trying to make resolutions. There's really nothing wrong with making a New Year's resolution. Often now it has to do with diet or exercise or spending more time with the family. And those are all good things. It's usually an attempt to prioritize your life, to focus on some things that are important. And as I was wondering about what message I would bring to you this new year, my mind was led back to this wonderful passage of Scripture that helps me keep focus. It helps me keep my priorities right, and it reminds me of the supreme priority. I've entitled this sermon, "One Thing is Necessary." This passage of Luke defines for us, perhaps like no other passage, the priority of a Christian. When we speak of priority, we usually mean that which is most vital, that which is most important, that which takes precedent over other things, that which is the main thing, the most necessary thing, the most essential thing. Priority comes from the word prior, and you've heard that before. It means that which is first, that which is before something else, that which is ahead of, that which precedes. A priority, then, is something that comes before something else. It comes ahead of everything else. It's antecedent to everything that follows it. It's the supreme thing. It's the essential thing. It's the preeminent thing. It's the foundational thing. It's the first thing. Everything follows the priority. Everything is subordinate to the priority. Everything is less important. That which takes priority is before everything. Before everything. Now, it's very important that we get our priorities right in life. And we have but a short time. It's now 2011. Time is really a tyrant and slows down for no one, does it? Life is short. And after the fall of God, the fall of man, God reduced it greatly, didn't he? Decline and death are all around us. Time and years seem to race along at an ever-quickening pace. It seems like every year the throttle goes down just a little more. And so we have to get our priorities right. And here, Jesus says there is one priority that is necessary. One that is first. One. Which really, if you get it right, will take care of all the others. Now, I'm tempted to ask what the world would come up with a priority. But they're so far off. What I want to ask is, what would a Christian say is the priority? What is your priority? If I were to ask you, and I don't want you to blurt this out, okay, you don't even have to write this down. You could just maybe work through your mind. What is your priority? Sort through the priorities in your mind. Church, family, children, serving the Lord, serving one another, loving the Lord, job, school. But I'm asking for one. One priority. David in Psalm 27 said, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek." Paul in Philippians 3:13 says, "There's one thing I do." David had one priority. What was it? He says to behold the beauty of the Lord. To know Him and behold Him. And Paul this one thing he does is to know Christ and to be like Christ. They're not separate. And here in Luke 10:42, we have the answer from the Lord Himself. One thing is needful. One thing is necessary. He doesn't say 10 things. He doesn't say there are 7 things needed or 3 things as a good 3-point sermon outline. One thing. Just one thing is needful. One thing is necessary. Now that's a wonderful simplification of life, isn't it? In our frantic world, in our frenzied lifestyles, there's just one thing that the Lord is going to give us here. And then I don't want to minimize the difficulties of the Christian life or life itself. You know, Christian life is full of many demands. But behind it all, it can be boiled down to one thing. This one thing. And if you get this one thing, all the other things will fall into place. If you get this one priority, all the other priorities will fall into place. And all the other non-priorities will also find their place too. The good news is there's one. The bad news is, if you miss this one, you've missed them all, right? You've missed them all. Because if you miss this, you miss everything. You miss everything that follows, everything that precedes, everything that is important, and everything that is meaningful. Well, what is it? What is the priority? What is prior to all things? What is it that I have to do or have to have that is antecedent to everything else? Or what is it that I don't have that I have perhaps wasted my time and my life and my effort, and at best I limp through life inadequate, useless, missing the mark, missing the potential? At worst, I crash into reality at the end of life when I stand before the judge and he says, "Wood, hay, and stubble, burn it." I don't want to miss the priority. Do you? Well, what is it? Let's find out. Let's read together Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. That's the Lord. She welcomed Jesus into her house. And we think the disciples were there. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." It's a short, simple story with a very simple point, but a rather profound, rather life-changing point. And so many miss it. There was a priority. There was one thing necessary. Mary chose it. Martha missed it. Mary got the priority right. Martha got it wrong. Now let me state before we go any further, we need to be like Mary. We all are like Martha. Let me repeat that. We need to be like Mary. We all are like Martha. What we will want to do as we look at this story is to see ourselves as Mary. But we should consider how we are like Martha. We are all like Martha in one degree or another. We all at times get pulled away from the one priority. From time to time, we must come back. We must resolve to get back to the one priority, to get the focus back. Well, this is the story. They're journeying, they're traveling. That's what it, as they went. It could be translated, they're journeying, traveling. That is how it's translated in other passages. This is Jesus and his disciples. Luke 9:51 tells us that Jesus had now resolved to go to Jerusalem to die for his ascension. But that's about 6 months away before that happens. And he had to send, and we see that in chapter 10, and even before 10, that he sent the disciples ahead of him to prepare this sort of preaching tour, we could call it. This preaching tour. And he sent the disciples to prepare himself before he came to anyone's house or to anyone's village. And they were traveling, preaching the word from house to house, town to town, city to city, until they finally will come to Jerusalem. And here, they come, it says, to a certain village. Now that is a small town. And they meet a certain woman. Now Luke knows who Martha is and where she lived. And we know, really from the rest of Scripture, who Martha and Mary are. And we know that they lived in Bethany, which is very close to Jerusalem. But Luke isn't concerned with that detail. And the Holy Spirit, I should say, isn't concerned with that detail, because what is given us here is something that could take place anywhere. The Holy Spirit is giving us an example that is common to us. Something that is meant for us to identify with. We're to identify with these two ladies. This could happen in any village, could happen in any town, it could happen in any city, it could happen in any home, it could happen in any church, and it does all the time. A certain village and a certain woman. Now we're familiar with Martha and Mary. These are the two wonderful sisters of Lazarus. We know about them from John chapter 11, especially when Lazarus is resurrected. They show wonderful faith. They express amazing comprehension of who Jesus is. They are believers. They are strong believers, at least by John 11. It appears here that this could be the first meeting between Martha, Mary, and Jesus. And that may be the significance of a certain woman. I don't know if it would have said certain woman if Jesus had already known them. Martha and Mary, however, do know something of who he is at this time. I think that as the disciples went ahead of the Lord, these two sisters had probably already entertained the disciples. The disciples were told when they went to a city to ask who was worthy for them to stay. And they were told by the Lord to stay there as long as they were in that city or town and preach the gospel. And I think that's what had happened. The disciples had already been with them. They had already told them about the Messiah. And now Jesus, following the path of all these disciples that have prepared it for him, now stops at their house. And they are very welcome to receive him. Martha and Mary eagerly receive him, to whom they have heard so much about. Now, we don't hear about Lazarus now. It could be that he was not there. He may not be mentioned because he's really not important to this account. What we see here, what is important, is this contrast between these two sisters. We see on the one hand devotion to the word, and we see distraction from the word. Martha welcomed him into the home. She may have been the oldest. She is often mentioned first. She seems to bear the responsibility. She's the one taking charge of the welcome and the arrangements. Jesus, as is characteristic, is no sooner has he arrived, he's begun teaching. He probably sat down on a long cushioned bench. That was common in Oriental culture, to have a bench against the wall that it might have been cushioned. It's called a divan. And Mary, who had been serving, for such is the implication of the original Greek, she had been serving, but now she had stopped when Jesus began to teach. And she is sitting at his feet. She is hearing his word and she's continuing to hear his word. And the implication is that she was serving with Martha. They probably had a little word that he's coming. She's serving with Martha. When Jesus came in and he started teaching, Martha continued to serve. Mary sat down and started listening. She became a dutiful servant to his word. When it says she's sitting at her feet, it doesn't have to be taken literally. This is a description of a disciple. Paul was even said to sit at the feet of Gamaliel, or however that's pronounced. Sitting at the feet meant she was a disciple. She is at a learning point from Christ. And what an immense privilege, wasn't it, to sit at the feet of the Lord, to sit with the teacher who is God in the flesh, the Lord of the universe. He's in your home. He's teaching you about life and eternal things. He's teaching you about sin and salvation. He's teaching you about righteousness, holiness, redemption and comfort, forgiveness, mercy, grace and love. And Mary takes the posture of a dutiful disciple. She's listening. She's learning his word. And she becomes for us an example of devotion. The example of hearing God's word, listening to Jesus' teaching, knowing him. And her posture is one we must all take this year and every year. One of hearing and listening and obeying the word of the Lord. Mary was hearing the word of God, and Martha should have been. But she's caught up in the service, in the preparations. She's making sure that everything's purpose. And she missed the one thing that was needful. One thing that was necessary. The priority. Hearing God's word. Mary and Martha both had the opportunity to hear God's word. Uniquely from the mouth of God incarnate, right? Mary wouldn't miss it. Martha almost did. Now listen, we don't have the Lord coming to our homes and speaking to us, but we have the same thing. And you must look at the Word of God as the same thing. This is the Word of Christ spoken to us, written down for us. And how often we do not treasure it for what it is. This very revelation tells us about God. It tells us about man. It tells us about ourselves. It tells us about sin. It tells us about the Savior. It tells us about the relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. It tells us about even life and relationships with one another and in marriage and with children and with parents, how to deal with your difficult parents at times. It tells us about our world. It tells us how to live in a cursed world. And it's all centered around Jesus Christ. Hearing the word of God is not just necessary for the unbeliever. It is necessary and needful for the believer. Martha wasn't an enemy of Christ. Martha loved Jesus. Martha loved him. Martha thought she was expressing the highest good to Jesus. She thought she was serving Jesus, but she missed the priority. Now I think you know the answer to the question I asked in the beginning. The one thing necessary, the one single priority for every Christian is to hear the revealed Word of God. And many might say, well, really the priority is knowing Christ. And I would just say, yes. But how do you know Christ? You listen to His Word, which tells you about Him. They're not separate. They're not separate. The priority is to hear the Word of God. That is prior to every spiritual exercise. That's prior to every spiritual duty. That's prior to every spiritual discipline. That's prior to everything else. If you don't get that right, you cannot get anything right. If you're not hearing God's Word through the preached message, through daily reading, through study, through meditation, you've missed the priority. That's the one thing you cannot miss. Martha missed it. Mary didn't. Let's look at the devotion to the Word as we see it in Mary. Mary had it. But let me clear up some things first. Some people think that Mary is an example of the contemplative life. Mary doesn't do much in the story. We don't hear a word from Mary. She's sitting at the feet of Christ. She is hearing the word of Christ. She has, Jesus says, chosen the better part. I think it's in verse 42. Mary has chosen the good part, the better part. She is the example of us, of the number one priority, listening to Jesus' word. Now, some have taken that to promote the monastic life, the contemplative life, monks and nuns. And they use her to approve of those who never do manual labor, never get up and get out into the world, that just spend all their time reading, chanting, studying God's word. That's not the point here at all. They missed the point to think that. Mary didn't spend her whole life doing nothing but listening to the word. But when the Lord spoke, she stopped what she was doing and she listened. And when the Lord speaks, we should listen. Mary got that. When the Lord speaks, we should not be doing something else, the way Martha was doing something else. And by the way, Martha is not rebuked for her service. She's rebuked because she wasn't listening to Christ when she should have been. Also, notice something about Mary, and I think it's worthy to mention, is she's listening, not talking. Mary is seated at his feet, listening to his word. Now, this is remarkable when you consider the rabbis of the day. They did not allow that. They would not allow a woman to sit at their feet and hear the word of God. They were sort of in the back. They were sort of left to learn when they could, however they could, among the women. Not with Jesus. Jesus is the liberator of women, the true liberator of women. But for her, she needed to be at his feet. And literally, she was right alongside him. Whether she was sitting or standing, she was as close as she could be. She was attentive to his word. She didn't want to miss a thing. But as I pointed out, she's not saying a word. She's listening. And this is the posture and attitude for every believer. Every believer. That every believer should take to the word to listen and not necessarily speak. I'll ask people all the time, do you believe in Christ? And I cannot tell you how many times they'll say to me, oh yes, I pray to Him every day. Well, that could be good or bad, I don't know. But I don't think I've ever heard someone say to me, I listen to Him every day as I read His Word every day. I don't hear that. That is the mark of the Christian. He listens to the Word of God. He listens to the Word of God. That's the essential mark. Listen, you need to listen to God more than He needs to listen to you. You need to listen to God more than He needs to listen to you. That's the first. That's the number one priority. Luke chapter 6, 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. And in verse 46, he said, Well, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is not the monastic life. Luke 8:20. And it was reported to him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. Remember, the crowds had gathered so much, and his mother and his brothers could not get to him. Somehow they got message along that crowd saying, hey, we're looking for you. You remember what he said? Verse 21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. In Luke 11, 28. And this is everywhere. These are just a few samples. 11:28, he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. Observe it. So this is not the monastic life. That's not the point here with Mary. Mary had a desire to hear the word of Christ and to do it. She wasn't intending to sit there forever. But now was the time when Christ was speaking for her to be listening. And she loved to listen to the words of life. She loved to listen to the words of Christ. She chose the number one priority and would not be distracted. But now we see someone, her beloved sister, who was distracted. And now we see in Martha the distraction from the Word of God. And if you look in verse 40... If you look in verse 40, you will see her. But Martha. But Martha. She was pulled away. She was distracted away from the priority. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Stop there. Distracted literally means pulled. She was pulled away. She was drawn away by all her preparations. Now, I sympathize with Martha. Don't you? She is working very hard. And she's really doing it for the Lord. She's a saint that is distracted, though. She has so much to do that she's missing the most vital thing. She needs to make a meal. She's fussing with the food. She's probably setting out the best dishes. As she's going along, she sees something that needs to be cleaned and she doesn't want anybody to see it, so she's got to clean that up. She's preparing the rooms, what little rooms they had. She's wondering how she can work it out, the sleeping arrangements. And all the while, she's remembering something. She's distracted. Pulled, pulled, pulled from every direction. So distracted from what? The priority. She should have been on the mat next to her sister, but listening to the Lord, right? Forget that other stuff. Now, I think she wanted to listen to the Lord. Don't you think she wanted to listen to the Lord? But she thought that the priority was this kind of service. And hospitality is commendable, and it, by the way, is commanded in Scripture. Romans 12:13, 1 Peter 4:10. Jesus isn't speaking against that. Women actually distinguish themselves in Scripture by their good works in a quiet and gentle spirit as they serve. I didn't say that. Scripture said that. They are called to be keepers of the home in Titus 2, 4, and 5. These are commendable things. A widow can't even be put on the church list, that is, to receive money, unless she is shown hospitality in 1 Timothy 5:10. That's good. Hospitality is good. Serving others is very good. And that typically distinguishes godly women, doesn't it? But she's not wrong in that, in and of itself. She's even doing it for the Lord. Her devotion is commendable to a point, but not when she missed the priority. She was distracted from the Word of God. Now listen. What I'm saying is it's not what she did. It's what she didn't do when she did what she did. Did you get that? It's not what you do. It's what you don't do when you do what you do. You may think that you are serving Christ, but if you miss the priority, it's vain. And it doesn't please Christ. Martha was doing this for the Lord. She loved the Lord. She thought it pleased Him. It didn't. Because the priority was lost. You can do the right thing with the wrong priority. And it becomes then the wrong thing. She got completely twisted about her priorities. She got completely twisted about what was her theory of what pleased God. And she did not please God. She's trying to get done what she thinks Christ wants done. And she thinks He's going to commend her for it. Boy, is she wrong. She's going to be very surprised when she brings this up to the Lord. On the contrary, she will be corrected by Him. Now listen, let me ask you something. I hope you're honest with yourself. What are you doing that you think the Lord wants, but in the process you are actually ignoring the clear Word of God? Maybe you're ignoring the priority. What are you doing? That's not good, Martha. You missed the main thing. Forget all that stuff and get down here and listen to the Lord. There's nothing more important than that. Hear the word of the Lord. If the roast burns, Jesus can make a new one, right? But it gets worse, beloved. It gets worse. When your priority and your priorities get messed up, when you think you're serving Christ by your own standard of measure, you know what you start to do? You start to judge others by your standard of measure. You think that they should be serving like you are serving. And you become contentious, and you become confrontational, and you become divisive. That happened to Martha. And it happens to the saints. Look at verse 40 as we finish it, as we read the whole thing this time. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Him. She approached Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Wow. Unbelievable. Now, when you've got the wrong priority, because you don't know the Word of Christ, you start to push and force that priority on others. And in Martha's frantic effort to please Christ, or what she thought was pleasing Christ, she was worried and bothered and frustrated. And I picture her pausing when Christ comes in as He starts to teach. And I picture her wanting to hear Him, and then she's distracted. She's got to rush away to check the roast. And she comes back and she sees Mary doing nothing. Right? And then she remembers that she didn't put out the bread. And she goes and does that. And she's rushing through this crowded room. These were very small rooms, and the disciples are there, and perhaps others were there, and nobody's helping. Martha's all alone. Mary's still sitting there. Now she's feeling alone in her service to the Lord. But it must be done. It's got to be done. She's getting steamed. Every time she crosses the crowded room, she feels animosity toward Mary, her sister. Even Christ. That's right. Why doesn't He notice that I need help? He knows a woman should be serving, but He hasn't said anything to Mary. Joy of service is fleeting. She's agitated, she's angry, she's exasperated. And listen, she's about to blow. She's about to blow. Started out doing a good thing, serving the Lord, serving others, but they didn't understand. Others didn't join in like they were supposed to. She's about to do something unthinkable. It says, she approached Him. Now this is implied in the original that it was a sudden outburst. It doesn't necessarily mean it was loud, but it was a sudden outburst. It's out of nowhere. She's been fuming. And her frustration has reached its climax. Think of that. She approached Him. Jesus is speaking on the most important things in life. But she thought that what she had to say and what she had to do was more important. They weren't as important as what she thought was important. Wow. She approached Him. Now, how often are our prayers like that? How often do we approach God in our pride and in our error, come to confront God in prayer about something we don't like, something that a brother should be doing? But they're not. Why isn't God doing anything about it? Listen, prayers can be wrong, can't they? Prayers can be wrong. And by the way, sometimes God has done something about it and we don't like the answer. Sometimes the brother isn't wrong. We're wrong. She approached Him. She approached Him to reproach Him. Amazing. She can't believe that He's let this go on. And she's going to correct Him. What a strong personality. This is a bossy woman. Right? Wow. And by the way, I'm a little bit frightened of her right at this point. She goes further. And she's really scary now. She is out of control. She actually confronts Him. Do you not care? She's lost it. Are you just going to stand there and let her, you know? This is unbelievable. Listen, even saints in their distractions get clouded in their minds. Do you not care? What is she talking about? This is the Lord of the universe who cares for every living creature. Provides for every living creature. You mean, do not care? You mean the one who cares for your eternal soul? Do not care? The one whom you can cast all your burdens and cares upon because He cares for you? That's amazing. Not care? Are you kidding me? Well, before we're too hard on her, I think we do this too. When things don't go away, when we don't rest peacefully in the care of the Lord, we do the same thing. He said He cares for us. Do we doubt it? Do we sort of correct Him when things go wrong? Do we deny that He cares for us in our fear, in our frustrations, in our unbelief? Remember, I said we need to examine ourselves like we're Martha. She's harming fellowship with the Lord. She's also harming fellowship with her sister, isn't she? She's really very upset with Mary. You know, I believe I believe that she thought the Lord cared about this sort of thing. I think she thought, well, as soon as I point this out to him, he's going to set this right. You know, he's going to tell Mary to get up off her duff and start helping out. I think that's what she thought. He's going to take her side. And so this is really against Mary. This is a backhanded way in the front of others to rebuke her sister. She doesn't go to Mary. She's been stewing in her disapproval, and she goes over her head. She goes to somebody with some authority, can put her right. She's harmed fellowship with Christ, and now she's harming fellowship with her sister, all because she didn't listen to God's word. She valued her own perception, her own views, what she thought was service over what was right. She was wrong. And when we fail to listen to God's word, our ideas become the rule. And unity is at risk and rebellion is at hand. And she had gone all the way to commanding God to command her sister. This is frankly staggering. Right? It's difficult to see Martha like this. It really is. It's difficult to see a beloved sister in this kind of state. And I love Martha. And we're shown a different side of her in John. And what we need to realize is we can't be critical of Martha because we're Marthas. Some degree or another. Mark it. This was meant to show us that when we don't listen carefully to Christ's word, we have the same potential within us. So before we condemn her too much, let's examine ourselves. And I confess that every time I come to this passage, it convicts me. And when you're busy serving, you easily can lose sight of the priority. You get pulled in so many directions and you forget the point of it all. What is it that keeps you from God's Word? What keeps you from studying it daily? What distracts you? What keeps you from being here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening? Why can't you work this into your schedule? What trivial non-priority pulls you from Sunday morning, Sunday evening worship, or other times when the Word of God is taught, or from the study of the Word on your own, the meditation of it? Is it preparing meals for your guests? Is it reservations at a restaurant? Is it cleaning the house for visitors? Is it a football game? A soccer game? A golf match? Maybe you've got to repair the car, the dishwasher. Those things can wait. When you look at Martha, remember, she's given as an example. Look at your own life and make sure the one thing necessary this new year is not neglected for the many unnecessary things. Or even for some good things. This was written for us. Jesus gently rebukes this wonderful saint for getting sidetracked. Verse 41. Martha, Martha, such care in his voice. Oh, how he cares. What gentle compassion, what sympathetic rebuke. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. It was good to serve, but not them. Not necessarily to that extent either. Not when the priority was lost in the serving. Our lives are so full of unnecessary things. Distractions to the Word. Distractions to knowing Christ. Simplify your lives. Order your priorities. Make sure that the priority is first and foremost hearing the Word of Christ. Examine your service for Christ. Make sure it's really what He wants. Don't assume you are right and everyone else is wrong. You know how you can know? If your prayers are all complaints, if you're angry with another saint because they are not serving like you are serving, watch out. Check your priority. Your priority should be hearing the Word of Christ. Commit yourself to this one thing this new year. And all other things will fall into place. Jesus said to Martha that Mary had chosen the good part, the best part. One thing is necessary. That's the same as the one priority. And that comes before everything else, hearing the Word of Christ. It's first, it's the main thing. Arrange your life to hear the Word of God. It is essential. If work keeps you from the Word or church on Sunday, start ordering your life to change that. I'm not talking about occasionally missing Sunday service because your boss had a great need or because you were ill and you had to make up work or because you're ill, period, and you couldn't be there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about consistently missing Sunday worship where God's Word is preached. If that's happening because of your work and it's happening consistently, you need to change. You need to prepare to change that. And you may even need to find a new job. And listen, if you trust Christ because you are wanting to hear His Word, He is not going to leave you hanging. He cares. And if you choose the better part, He'll take care of the rest. Jesus did not send Mary back into the kitchen. He was calling Martha to sit on the floor and hear Him. I believe Martha came to her senses right there. And I believe that she got down with her sister. Let's resolve to do the same. Let's get before Christ. Let's know Him through His Word. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank You for reminding us of the priority of hearing Your Word and therefore knowing Christ. How I pray that You would not allow the enemy to come remove this word, remove this seed that has been sown. Don't let the thorns of life crowd it out. Don't let the pleasure or the pain of life steal this away. Let it burrow deep within every heart, that they may hear Your Word, they may know You and obey You. This we pray because we want You to be glorified in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our country, and in our world. Thank You for Jesus Christ, who speaks to us through His Word. In His name we pray. Amen.